Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. This podcast is for the federal government attorney navigating the complex intersection of acquisition and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Alana Hines.
And I'm Major Ed Callahan. Together, we are your co-hosts.
On this episode of Far and Beyond, we are covering the Continuing Appropriations Agricultural Legislative Branch, Military Construction, and Veteran Affairs and Extensions Act 2026, or as we call it, the Fiscal Year 26 CR.
Why would we want to call it the FY26 CR with that type of a title?
That's a tongue twister. These resolutions are typically temporary funding measures, but this one has a major implication for our national security. So joining me today, as always, is Major Callahan, who has been poring over the Fiscal Year 26 CR. And providing a new perspective is Major Alana Hines, the Vice Chair of ADK, focused on how these bills hit the ground. All right, Ed, let's start simple. What is the clock on this resolution, and what funding level does it maintain for the non-MILCON parts of the Pentagon?
So this CR provides appropriations until the 30th of January 2026. The core funding mechanism found in Division A, and as some folks may recall, when you're looking at these public laws, they break them down into divisions, Division A being the first one going through. It ensures continuation of projects or activities at the rates for operations provided in the applicable Appropriations Act for FY25. And we won't get into all of these ones, but those acts involve the Big Beautiful Bill, the Continuing Appropriations Acts that we saw three of them through 2025, and some things going back to the Appropriations Act of 2024. This measure keeps the government running, but it's clearly a short-term placeholder for general operations and maintenance.
And that short timeline can make things tricky in terms of planning and backward planning, as we often do in the military. But the real issue for us is usually the restrictions that come with a continuing resolution, especially on major modernization and procurement. What specific restrictions does Division A place on Department of War activities right now?
So Division A of it includes explicit restrictions on the DOW overriding the general continuation rule for limited activities, but certainly some. New productions, right? No funds available under this section can be used for the new production of items not funded for production in FY 2025 or previous years. This is one of the things that we talk about, no new stats, right? If we didn't have the ability to order its production in previous years, this doesn't change that just because there's money in the bank account. Rate increases. Funds can't be used to increase production rates of those sustained with fiscal year 2025 funds. So if we were only authorized 25 tanks, we can't now make it 30 tanks just because there's money in the bank. Those rates have to be sustained from the past. It also restricts new starts. So if we weren't able to initiate, resume, continue any activity, project, operation, or organization during FY25, we can't now do that. It also has restrictions on some multi-year procurements. Funds can't be used to initiate multi-year procurements. Again, this is a temporary funding measure.
So it seems like pretty standard continuing resolution constraints. No new programs, no ramping up production. That can have impacts on major programs, for sure. But I did notice some specific language concerning key modernization projects in Division A that seemed to offer some relief. Can you highlight any programs that received exceptions to the strict prohibitions?
Yeah, for sure. So the CR contains several specific waivers, sections 102 and 104 for anybody following along at home, that allows critical defense activities to proceed despite the general rate freeze. And this makes sense. We're not going to put long-term projects that are critical to our national security at risk for these. One of them that they talk about throughout is the E-7 Wedgetail program. Air Force, you're probably very familiar with this, I'm sure. The Wedgetail is a plane. I had to look it up because I didn't know. So they received explicit approval to use funds for RDT&E up to almost $200 million, specifically for the purpose of continued rapid prototyping activities, right? They're working on this program. It's been going on for a few years. They didn't want to lose their progress, and they wanted to continue moving forward with it, right? The act explicitly transfers $200 million of unobligated funds from the previous aircraft procurement Air Force appropriation to the E-7 RDT&E account for this purpose.
That is a significant carve-out to keep a major aircraft program on track. it's overcoming the no new starts rate increase hurdle.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about shipbuilding, which involves massive capital requirements?
Yeah, that's kind of in the same boat, right? These shipbuilding funds, they go years and years because that's how long it takes to produce these things. So the Navy receives some crucial exemptions. It waives the general limitation and provides funding for the completion of prior year shipbuilding programs. This dates all the way back to the FY13. All right. This includes some specific amounts to cover costs for projects like the Carrier Replacement Program, the Virginia-class Submarine Program, and the DDG-51 Program, as well as the TAO Fleet Oiler Program.
So it seems like this is really similar to the Air Force provision there in terms of ensuring that we're able to replace aging aircraft systems. I mean, it's imperative to stabilize the industrial base when it comes to our nuclear fleet, which is critical to the Navy's success.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's turn to the military construction, or MILCON. For the DOW, MILCON is Division D of this act, separate from the temporary Division A. Does this mean MILCON funding is treated differently?
Yeah, it was this year. This was a pretty interesting portion of this. So Division D is where it lives on this particular continuing resolution. So as everybody may recall, there are maybe 12 appropriations acts that come out, usually in one consolidated appropriations act every year. In this case, we have a continuing resolution that also has some appropriations acts in it. And one of those is the MILCON. So MILCON is not temporarily funded through 30 January. It's actually fully funded through, in MILCON's case, September 30th, 2030. Because as we recall, it's a five-year period of availability generally with MILCON funds.
Since MILCON is fully funded, were there any specific pots of money dedicated to key DOW priorities within Division D?
Yeah, this year we're specifically targeting facility needs for our forward forces and quality of life issues, which if you look back at the Big Beautiful Bill HR 1, those also focused a lot on the quality of life issues. So this act provides $144 million for MILCON Army. Similar funding is provided for the Army National Guard and National Guard Army Reserves on their unfunded priority lists. There's also dedicated additional amounts. Designing child development centers, which as a user of the CDCs, I appreciate. $5 million for each Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force. And design for barracks, $5 million each for Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force.
I thought I saw something about extending the MILCON availability as well.
Yeah, that's a big change. At least it's a big change from what I saw. So we're talking in Division D, and it addresses some historical issues. Military construction funding, MILCON funding, usually has a period of availability of 5 years. That's why in this Division D, new funds are available until September 30th, 2030. However, this act explicitly permits us to use unobligated MILCON funds from FY 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, all of which would normally have been expired and unavailable for our use at this point in time. It just provides that authorization hasn't lapsed. In other words, if since that 2017-2018 funding was made available, the reason that the funding was there, we're not allowed to do anymore. For example, we were in Afghanistan in 2017. Just because in 2017 we would have been able to build something out there with MILCON funds doesn't mean that now we can. That authorization would have lapsed. This is a big deviation from the normal life cycle. Exact numbers are tough to find on how much this actually outlines. But according to usaspending.gov, unobligated funds from land and structures from FY17 to FY20 still exist at about a $45.5 billion rate.
And that is a pretty significant change for sure. When is it that we have until to obligate those funds for MILCON?
Yeah, so they extended the use of that through October 1st, 2027. In other words, 2 years from where we are now, we're now going to be able to reach back 10 years worth of funding.
All right. To summarize the DOW impact of the fiscal year 26 CR, general operations are running on a temporary 2-month lease at fiscal 25 rates, subject to strict prohibitions on new starts or rate increases.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the standard stuff that you'll see on continuing resolutions.
However, there are strategic priorities like the E-7 wedge tail and high-cost Navy shipbuilding completion received specific legal exemptions to continue. And then, meanwhile, military construction in Division D received full year-long funding for fiscal year 2026, targeting quality of life improvements and the unfunded priority list needs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So this continuing resolution is really has some duality to it. We've got the routine readiness that's running on the borrowed time and restricted rules that we're more used to, while essential facility maintenance and some of those critical modernization efforts are moving forward with more long-term certainty and dedicated funds.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Thanks for joining us today, Alana. It was fun to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
Alana would love to hear from our listeners. Continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Look for us on our team's pages. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode.
The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.